Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Tails!
Okay!
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Everything's awesome!
You better eat those chips.
You told me to eat a chip. Mitch, I'm eating a chip.
Eat those chips.
Okay.
Eat them faster.
Sorry. Hi, this is Luke.
Carrie.
Are you listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport?
So hopefully we didn't just blow a bunch of eardrums out there.
Well, whatever.
We'll find out later. We still have a better sound quality than a lot of podcasts. I won't name names. But certain famous ones that are way famous compared to us have bad sound quality.
OMG. So speaking of bad sound quality, let's go to Google Voice real quick. All right. We got to hear a message. Because we had some technical issues in the last... episode of our lovely program.
No, really?
Yes, we did.
I seem to recall something about sitting here for a half hour with my husband on the phone trying to figure out how to recover a file.
Okay. Well, here, this may provide some kind of an explanation here.
Sunbeam, did you hear that? Bad news?
What was that, Broccoli Bill?
That we haven't recovered episode 10 that we're trying so hard to destroy!
Oh, damn it. Now we're going to have to go try to destroy the Pot of Destiny again. Damn those people at the Bad Rapport.
The Bad Rapport sucks! It's your dad!
So apparently it was Sunbeam and Broccoli Bill who conspired against us to destroy episode 10.
I should have realized.
Yes. It's so obvious when you think about it.
Yes. It's completely obvious.
Yes.
Hey,
and if...
I want to read what Google Voice thought that said, because that's pretty funny.
All right, so what Google Voice thought it was...
So, Sunbeam and Broccoli Bill, Google Voice believes you said, "Hi, my name is Vicky News, was programmed no anyway. All right, this is Kelly trying to get this. Bye. I looked at it right now, we're going to have to go try to destroy the Just Need to Get It. And the people of the best of luck." That's it.
So there you go. And we're going to save comments because comments go at the...
end of the podcast.
Wait, what?
Comments go at the end of the podcast.
No! No! Okay. All right. Well, I wanted to briefly mention something. I did a kind of a short review of the book Last Words by George Carlin, which was awesome. I picked up on my way to MarsCon the audiobook of George Carlin's last work, which is read by his brother Patrick. And, man, I gotta say, his brother sounds so much like him. It's not exactly the same, but he has that same grittiness that's... He can, you know, basically do his you know, George's inflections and the way he speaks, and it was just like... it was both spooky and at the same moment brought a tear to my eye. It's like, George came back to do one more thing for us, you know.
Yeah.
So the book on audio is an abridged version, so there are some parts that are, you know, cut out or just kind of, you know, summarized because you don't need to know every single detail about him standing around waiting to, you know, film the Ed Sullivan Show or whatever. But I still highly recommend both the regular book and the audio book. So yeah. Anyway, we're gonna get to the first song of the show.
So that we can talk about it afterwards.
Okay, and here is the song right now.
Yay.
I pile on the frosting in green and fuchsia lumps. This work is so exhausting that my spelling talent slumps.
I'll wish you happy Bertie or happy Halley Days or happy Folker Satterhood for this year's Father's Day.
It's a piece of cake to make a rookie cake. Just be a little lazy. Don't gotta do the cooking by the book. Just make it weird and crazy. Never use a classy recipe. Just gob on frosting daisies. If you throw away your cooking book, then you'll wreck a cake. We've got our cake wreck made. Our carrot jockey's cake. Finally, it's time to wreck a cake.
Wrecking Cakes has its own science. Quotation marks abound. Decorate with raw defiance, making chocolate fecal mounds.
Don't tell me I want sprinkles.
Cakey Wreck.
If that is what you want.
Cakey Wreck.
I'll write out I want sprinkles in a pretty frosted box.
It's a piece of cake to make a wrecky cake. CakeWrecks.com will tell you. You also gotta buy a funny book that Amazon will sell you. You do not have to be the ace of cakes. Just make a fondant fish stew. If you do the wreck and buy the book, then you'll wreck a cake. On Super Bowl Sunday, we'll make a wrecky cake. Finally, it's time to wreck a cake. And on our wedding day, we'll make a wrecky cake. Finally, it's time to wreck a cake.
Break it down, Jen! Show all bakeries why they should have a spelling test before hiring some guy. Grab some cupcakes, slap an icing itch high. Make a curious joint that'll make a kid cry. That Victor Angela, that's a cake wreck. That daffodil pony, that's a cake wreck. That flaming armadillo, that's a cake wreck. That groom's never beat, that's a cake wreck.
It's a piece of cake to make a wrecky cake.
What?
Just be a little lazy.
Okay.
Don't gotta do the cooking by the book.
What?
Just make it weird and crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Never use a classy recipe.
Cake.
Just gob on frosting daisies. If you throw away your cooking book,
yeah,
then you'll wreck a cake.
CakeWrecks.blogspot.com has the cakes that are the bomb. Army men like Vietnam, made by pros, not by a mom. Naked mohawks, baby carrot jackets rule the world. In a bowl, take a doom, drown inside a few squirrel. It makes your head spin like you're on a chosen whirl. I saw Darth Vader with a baby, it's a girl.
You gotta do the wrecking by the book.
Cake, yeah.
And that was Wreckin' by the Book, the Cake Wreck song by Carrie Dalby.
And by Luke Ski also.
Well,
the funny
technically,
parts are by
yes.
Luke. I thought Wingard's verse was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
So, in case you haven't seen the video for that song, stop the podcast right now. Stop doing what you're doing. Stop working. Stop jogging. Stop driving. Stop peeing. Whatever it is that you're doing right the second. And go to YouTube.
It's kind of hard to stop peeing.
Well, you could stop the flow, man. Is it that hard? Do you have like a bladder problem?
Once you start it, it's kind of painful.
Shut up.
Okay.
So, you know, women, we have to learn how to do that kind of thing. It's called Kegel. So, why don't you go to www.thefump.com. And watch the video that goes with that song, because if you haven't seen the video, then, like, everything you're about to talk about isn't going to make any sense. But Luke's going to eat while I tell you about the making of the video.
Yes.
So, basically, I skipped work on a Tuesday. Not skipped. I actually had a scheduled day off. And I got all my costume stuff together, and my husband drove me to Matt Duhan's abode, Chez Duhan, Matt and Tara's house in Bentonville, which is in the same town where I happen to work. And we got there, so I was already up around the same time I would be to go to work. And then I got to sit in a car with our director, Christopher Pants Morgan, and Raven, who did the cinematography, and I got to sit in a car with them for a while we waited for Luke, who was at that point an hour late, I believe. And then Luke and Kiki showed up, and
that was because of that train.
Yeah.
Well, let me explain briefly, because it is a noteworthy thing. There was a train sitting in Glen Ellyn, Illinois. The train was literally 2 miles long, and it sat there doing nothing for a half hour. So I was probably an eighth of a mile away from where Kiki lived, and I could not get to her because of this train. And I had to figure out a way to drive all the way around the train through the streets of Glen Ellyn and its neighboring communities just to get over to the other side where, I mean, it would have been faster if I would have parked the car and just walked through, like, in between the train tracks or in between the train cars, grabbed her and brought her back to my car. It would have been faster and more logical to do that. But I was afraid of, like, you know, getting caught or arrested or dying or some stupid shit like that.
Yeah, dying always sucks.
So, yeah.
I think.
So, anyway.
So once Luke and Kiki showed up, then I think Luke had the key to Matt's house. So we all got in there, got a bunch of equipment in there, got a bunch of props and costume stuff, and I went to the bathroom to change into my costume and makeup. And while I was doing that, Pants and Raven were setting up all the sound and light and camera equipment, and Luke and Kiki started to set up a fake cake. If you see the cake in the video, the pink cake with the lollipops in it, that was not made out of cake. It was made out of foam and frosting. So by the time I got upstairs and I was all ready to go, I looked and realized I could be of use by putting slabs and slabs of pink, actual real pink frosting on fake cake made out of green foam. And I remember that being one of the highlights, because I was like, I could be at work right now, but instead I'm putting pink on things. And I like putting pink on things. And I don't get to put enough pink on things. Although lately at work I've been using a lot of Microsoft Excel, and I highlight stuff when I'm done with them, and then I highlight them in pink, so I know that's when I'm done with them. So I do get to make things pink at work, but it's not quite the same. And yes, I did feel quite wasteful, but on the other hand, you know, it was for a good cause. And Luke brought out the puppets, and I was delighted with joy and happiness at how awesome the puppets had turned out, because I hadn't seen anything at all of them up until the time they were done, and it was time to shoot the video. That was the first time I saw them, and I was quite delighted. And then we eventually were ready to start shooting. I think the biggest challenge of the day was the fact that we were trying to play the song to lip sync from off of Luke's, like, craptastic...
Shitty old boombox that I bought at Walmart.
From, like, 1994 or something.
Yes.
It's, like, the shittiest boombox ever, and I can't believe he's still using it. Somebody get this boy a $20 boombox, for the love of God. So that kept skipping, and we kept having problems with that until finally, while Matt was at work, he explained to us that we could use his DVD player and his TV to play the CD from that.
And that worked great.
Stop talking with your mouth full. You're gonna get beat. He's giving me this look like, oh, what?
No, I'm sorry. I guess, you know, I'm rude, you know, sitting here all day promoting your song and preparing your podcast.
You have food in your mouth. Shut up. So, anyways...
Women are dull. Friendship. I forgot the rest of this words of the old song. So anyway.
So you're going to finish this by yourself, right? Okay. I'm out of here. So,
have a nice walk home.
Bitch.
Where were we? Where were you?
I don't know.
Puppets, delightful.
So, you know, there's a lot of...
My boombox was a piece of crap.
Yeah, mostly, you know, we just mostly did what Pants and Raven told us to do for most of the day.
Pants had had a shot list of various types of shots he wanted to get.
Yes, Pants was very organized in what he was looking for that day. And he and Raven butted heads a little bit, but that was cool. I really liked Raven. I'd never met her before, and I'm not sure if I'll ever talk to her again, but she's this really cool, like, goth-looking chick with these really cool blue dreadlocks. But then, you know, since she dresses like goth, then you expect her to, like, be kind of grumpy. And she's, like, super sweet and kind and, like, complimentary and generous and smiley. So, you know, sunshine goth, I guess. So, peace out to Raven. And yeah, it was a lot of fun doing a lot of stuff. We were purposely trying to get all of my shots done by a certain point because I wanted to leave and fit in a doctor's appointment on my day off. So we were kind of trying to squeeze everything in that had me in it. And in fact, some shots where you may think it is my hand putting frosting on things, it's actually Kiki's hand. And I had a good time. I got changed. We took a few pictures. Then I left. And then at some point, Luke's going to be done chewing and swallowing so that he can tell you what happened after I left. Because I wasn't there the whole day. Then they had to get puppet shots. They had to get Lil Jon shots. And they took some extra pictures. And
yeah.
Some frosting, putting frosting on things.
Yeah, shots. I had been up late the night before putting the final touches on the puppets, and I got to tell the story of the puppets real quick, because when Carrie first told me about the idea of the song, I'm like, oh, this is a great idea for a song. And then I immediately got this vision of, wait a minute, if we're going to do this, you know, the main part of Cake Rex is the whole visual aspect of seeing these horrible cakes and how funny they are. So we should really just shoot a video and intersperse it with clips, you know, pictures of the cakes to help promote the Cake Rex site and also, you know, hopefully to get the Cake Rex people to think the Fump is kind of a neat thing and check out our site too. So, we're parodying this Lazy Town Nickelodeon thing that has all these puppets in it. And I knew that I couldn't, like, go the, you know, full, whatever those things are made out of, rubber or...
Yeah.
You know, there's no way I can make puppets that look like that. But I wanted to have puppets that were of, you know, a decent quality, and I didn't want to go with, like, you know, bag puppets or just, you know, typical sock puppets. I mean, sock puppets are fun to make. I mean, don't forget about Megan and Moonbeam's room party, which was totally cool, the Syphil and Ollie party.
You weren't there.
I wasn't there. I was there that weekend.
No, you weren't.
I wasn't? I saw the video.
Yes.
No, I'm thinking there was another con that did something similar but not as good. That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
That was Convergent. Somebody else. They had a Jim Henson themed party to some degree.
Speaking of Moonbeam, she's so beautiful lately. She's all pregnant and like glowing and smiling and like perfect looking. And
it's like there are beams of moon coming off of her.
Yes, there are moon beams coming off of Moonbeam.
So anyway, I'm sitting here like, you know, in my brain going through like all the various craft making ways I've used in the past, like paper mache, like how could I do it? I could build a wire frame and put this around. It's like, God, how can I make puppets that are of decent quality, but make them quickly and cheaply? And I happened to get a phone call from Grant Pachoco of Throwing Toasters, who does the Henson podcast and works with Puppet Up and, you know, does Dr. Floyd. He has experience, you know, making and operating puppets in a professional manner. So I just asked him, you know, do you have any idea where I could get some decent, you know, how I can make a decent quality puppet quickly and cheaply? And he told me about a website called, it's either projectpuppet.com or puppetproject.com. It's one of those two.
Puppet Project. Yeah, I know we're going to see if they're going to want to play the video. But
yeah,
first we kind of want cakerex.com to play the video.
Yeah. So basically, it's like, I went to that website, and what it is you can basically pay to download a PDF file of sewing patterns for puppets. So I looked at the ones they had, and the first one they listed is actually listed. The product is named the Glorified Sock Puppet.
Yes.
So basically, it's, you know, your kind of Kermit the Frog-esque style puppet where, you know, it's just kind of a long sock that has a mouth, and then you can attach a couple of, you know, arms to it, and then, you know, if you want to operate those arms, you just put little sticks on them or whatever. So it's the basic pattern of how to make that body, and then what you do is you just either sew or hot glue on all the other accessories to go with that puppet. So, you know, once he, you know, tipped me off for that, you know, Sarah and I went to Joanne Fabrics while she was at work, you know, some afternoon. I cut out all the pieces. She came home from work. I don't know how to use a sewing machine, and she does. So we used her sewing machine. She sewed them together. And, you know, over a span of a few days, we managed to get everything happening until it was like the night before. It was like, okay, I have these four naked puppets. Now I need to transform them into Shoebox of Worm Quartet, Christmas Alesta of Power Salad, Devo Spice, and Wingard of the Nick Adams. So I went to this mad, insane dash to pick up,
you know, felt and you know, hair and, you know, ping pong balls, just all these accessories to, you know, that will eventually, you know, on the fly at home become these four friends of ours that we're trying to recreate to match their parts in the song. And I think for for being under the gun, I'm pretty happy with the results of that we came up with.
So. I really love the puppets.
So
their little shirts.
Yes.
Diva Spice has the
blue screen of death shirt. I feel bad because I couldn't really think of a creative like shirt for Chris Mazzalesta, because he doesn't have like a, you know, quite a signature look as the rest of us do. So I just made his shirt green, just because I think, because he always usually wears like a light green or a color similar to that. So but
you did an amazing job making a guy who doesn't really look cartoonish look like a, you know, a cartoon. In puppet.
And I intentionally made his puppet the one that looks a little bit with his eyes a little bit cockeyed, just because I knew of what was coming on the Cirque du Soleil album with "Oh!" And I just thought, I want the puppet to look like he's that guy saying that word over and over again.
Okay, see,
like,
I didn't get that at the time.
And I'll talk more about that later when we talk about Cirque du Soleil. So
we'll talk about not that much this time and more next time.
Yes. And, So basically, you know, after Carrie left, we had Kiki and Pants were the other two puppeteers. Anytime we had close-up shots of the puppets talking with their lyrics, that's me. And when we had to get the group shots, it's either Kiki or Pants or me, depending on whether or not you actually see me in shot dressed up as the Little John parody. So, we got close-ups. We got we got some shots that we didn't even use, one of which was used in the... over the closing credits, you can see me sped up motion of me putting, you know, misspelled words on a cake.
Yeah.
And there was some other random stuff we got, but
yeah, my poor oven mitts never made it into the video, even though we did several shots of me, you know, touching things with oven mitts.
Yeah, that's the way things happen sometimes.
But it was a good time, and Chris Pants Morgan did a great job, and
yay.
I'm really happy with it, and. Now I'm just impatiently waiting for a reaction and or sharing from Jen Yates of Cake Rocks. I don't want her to think like I'm stalking her. I mean, basically how this song came about was I did the original Lazy Town plus Lil Jon thing, more or less did it as original at MERSCon 2009. Luke appeared as Lil Jon in that, in which he was kind enough to write lyrics for, since we didn't want it to be X-rated or R-rated, so he wrote some rap lyrics for that. And then it's just like we had this instrumental that Chris Mazzalesta made, and like I knew I wanted to do something with it, and then a couple months ago it just kind of hit me like, you know, duh. Make it about my favorite website, so which is about cake, and the song is about cake, and you know,
yes,
it just suddenly. I remember very once obvious.
A person who was a fan of mine kept like, you know, like Bender Roboto came out, and he was like kind of down on that song, like he wasn't into it, and I'm like, well, why? He's like, well, it doesn't make any sense, and I'm like, I did a parody song, I did a parody of the most famous pop song ever written about a robot, about a current TV show. That a lot of people like starring a robot. How is there no correlation? It's like, okay, fine. It's like, screw you. So.
Yeah, so it was almost so obvious that, you know, I didn't see it at first, but I managed to see it in time to premiere the video at MarsCon, and it was a big hit. And people cheered a lot, for those of you that weren't there.
Oh, yes, there was much laughter and cheering. I love the slow realization of what they're watching was my favorite part, because like you get to the first part where, you know, I pile on, you know, it's like, okay, there's puppets. What the, wait, is that shoebox? Oh my God. And then they start figuring out like these are puppets of their favorite artists and stuff.
I should have been watching their faces, but I was too busy watching the video for the first time.
Yeah. But by the time it got to Devo Spice and Wingard, people were losing it.
People cheered
when they saw the Wingard puppet.
Yeah.
That's my favorite shot of the video, is the Wingard popping out behind the cake. Don't tell me I won't sprinkle. It's like, yay. This being the morning after the Nick Adams farewell concert, you know.
Yeah.
Look, it's Wingard. Wingard lives in puppet form.
Well, I'm not going to bother to try to read out the whole YouTube URL, however you say it. But, you know, go to the Great Luke Ski channel on YouTube or go to thefump.com. Or hopefully soon it'll be on cakerex.com. And please share it because we want it to go viral.
FYI, Carrie did get a hold of Jen Yates, and you know, in the early stages of this project, to let her know that we were going to work on it, just to make sure that she was cool with it and to get her permission. And in fact,
I had direct cooperation from her publisher on use of some of those images, where we were actually sent a zip file from her book publisher on images. So yeah, all those images were used with permission. And just hoping and praying for the day that it gets posted on that website so it'll start getting more views. But we've been talking for too long.
Okay.
I say that not because I'm trying to save the length of the podcast, but because I want to get home.
Well, now we have to get to the part where we talk about my new song. I did a song, and it was Christina Aguilera parody, and it's about anime cartoons from Japan, and you would like it, and here's a song right now, yay.
Yankee cartoons were always boring, and
what happened then? What happened then?
Started watching shows from the Pacific Rim.
Pika!
Canada!
Rumble!
Showed him for just a bad tuxedo mask. Once he made me swoon, he saw my Sailor Moon. He's a speed racer, star blazer, anime fan. A Miyazaki eating hockey anime fan.
Ooh yeah.
He really uses G-Force on my Robotech, just like Voltron.
I'll form the head.
Every Gundam he can make was mastered like a toy. The cyberpunk is my own Astromoid. But behind closed doors, he's my Gigantor. He's a Saki Brewster, by a Booster anime fan. Ooh, a mecha flyer, mech guy, or anime fan. What's it between?
Hi, cute girl. I am the shy main character, and I have a crush on you.
But I have a crush on that very handsome boy.
That's me.
You must fight him for my love.
Did I mention I'm a super robot weapon, too?
Uh-oh. Pretty boy divine, I'm his Valentine. He's a transformer, disproportionate anime fan.
Oh.
The envy making cosplay and anime fan.
Oh, whoa, yeah.
Not just like Inuyasha, I obey his word. He stole my heart like Lupin the Third. Fashion stampede, big Trigun.
Oh.
I'm a horny girl, and flying high like Lum.
Rama and Akane fighting at the beach.
Anime fan. Anime fan.
To clean their bikinis, they gotta use bleach.
Anime fan. Anime fan.
Denji Muyo, anime fan.
Hair's a bright mop, eyes pop, bigger than a chef's wok.
Slayer's late, anime fan.
Huge Malifaux, blood's not embarrassed, massive sweat drop.
Oh my goddess, anime fan.
Likes my boobs hot, jiggling won't stop. Here's a panty shot.
Has a plot.
He's a hentai watching, happy crotching anime fan.
What?
A wang attack, a tally wagon anime fan.
Say.
A lights and curvy, super pervy anime fan.
Ooh.
A gonna rock you, king otaku anime fan.
I'm the cute girl, skipping my way to
anime
down.
Fan.
I am
Squirrel
Door, demon from the fifth
anime
world.
Anime fan.
My, what big tentacles you have. What were you
anime
with those?
Fan.
Got into a fight.
Destroyed Neo Tokyo, freaky mutant might.
Team Rocket's blasting off at the speed of light.
Jesse and James and Meowth, that's right.
Nine-tailed Demon Fox Naruto was shunned.
Fought Topeka Hokage and he won.
Light got out his book and ended our fun.
Wrote a death note about us and now we're done.
And now it's time for
News! Oh! The Stupid!
Created by Devo Spices at DevoSpice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess you're stupid to prove it innocent, cause I'm making soda, means that you incriminate.
Our first story was submitted to us by Kyle Hudson.
Here's a story where the advance of technology didn't help out a business criminal when it came to the one particular old-school cliché used to avoid prosecution. Back in the old days when G-men were coming to bust you for holding some kind of smoking gun-esque paper document, if you were fast, you could crumple up the document, shove it in your mouth, and swallow it, turning your stomach into Mother Nature's molecular paper shredder. Well, recently in New York City, Florin Nakula, a banker in Queens, thought fast during a federal raid and quickly swallowed the evidence, which was stored on a USB flash drive. Eventually, Florin reluctantly agreed to have a doctor operate to remove the flash drive after the Secret Service spent 4 days waiting for a download.
Japanese pet owners are trying to save money in today's recession by having their dogs and cats washed in a specially designed machine instead of using groomers. More and more people in the suburbs of Tokyo are using the vending machines that wash, rinse, and blow-dry their pets in about 30 minutes. A groomer at Joyful Honda Pet Market claims the process uses pure ozone water and is completely safe for the pet. One user, however, admitted it took his Yorkshire Terrier a while to get used to the dryer. The vending machine wash costs about $5 compared to $30 for grooming. Warning, not all Japanese pets should be washed in this manner. Pikachu! And now it's time once again for that age-old question, who is more stupid, the man who tried to buy crack with Monopoly money or the man who sold crack to somebody for Monopoly money? The answer? They're both stupid, though the dealer who accepted the Monopoly money is likely a little more stupid. Police in Wichita, Kansas pulled over a 33-year-old man who was bleeding from the head after getting pistol-whipped by a drug dealer from whom he had bought crack with Monopoly money 2 weeks earlier. Policeman Gordon Basham said that despite the unusual circumstances, officers still want to arrest the attacker. That was not a get-out-of-jail-free card, Basham said. And that was not one of our jokes. The officer actually said that. You have to hand it to this creative, frugal drug customer. It seems it paid off for him to take a chance. Okay, I can tell you're bored with this story. Let's roll on to the next one.
When certain distracting activities people do while driving get too popular, like talking on your cell phone or texting, laws are often passed prohibiting them. Some activities, however, never get laws passed against them because the very idea of engaging in them while behind the wheel of a moving vehicle is so ridiculous that we all assume that they just will never happen ever. Enter Florida's own Megan Mariah Barnes, who thought it would be a good idea and a wonderful time-saving measure as she drove to her boyfriend's new place to shave her bikini area while driving. Guess what? She got into an accident. But that's not all. She also shouldn't have been driving because she had just been convicted of a DUI and had a suspended license. But that's not all. She wasn't even holding the steering wheel at the time of the accident. It was being held by the person in the passenger seat, her ex-husband. Let's rewind a bit here and ask a few questions. Why was Megan's ex-husband in the car as she drove to her new boyfriend's place? What purpose did he have to be there? Putting that aside, why didn't she just let him drive the car, thereby allowing her both to not drive with a suspended license, and completely freeing herself up to give herself a Brazilian in the passenger seat without endangering the lives of all the blue-haired old ladies and Midwestern tourists? She told the police she did it because she was running late for a date with her boyfriend. They were planning on going to Busch Gardens.
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
For JJ!
This has been News of the Stupid. And, I didn't know, when I chose that story, that last story, to be included in the News of the Stupid, that it had already appeared on Smite Boy's new podcast, Mystery Ticket Radio. So
Smite Boy is stealing our ideas. We stole those ideas from Devo Spice, fair and square. That's bullshit. There was this thing. It was called MarsCon, and it happened. So we're going to do the really quick roundup. Just because, damn it. All right.
How do we summarize MarsCon in 15 minutes or less?
I don't know. I guess I'm going to run down the schedule here of things that happened, and we can both just make quick comments and interject things and stuff. How about that? Because, you know, I wasn't intending this to be huge.
Okay.
All right, so first of all, we had opening ceremonies. Having just coming off the experience of making puppets for Carrie's video, I had been working on, you know, the opening ceremony sketch with Earl, and, you know, he and I were both very busy, but we managed to, you know, I wrote the first draft of the sketch, he went through, made the second draft, it was a parody of The Dating Game, so basically his draft was essentially a slightly altered version of my draft, making it more like the way The Dating Game actually is, you know, and, yeah. So basically, it was kind of like he took the material I wrote and just kind of rearranged it. I don't think he added too many jokes. I'd have to listen to it again to...
I didn't see opening ceremonies because you told me I didn't have to.
Well, you needed to eat.
That isn't what I was doing. I was, like, helping people out with the party or something.
Oh, all right. Well, anyway, so it was The Dating Game in which Insane Ian played the host of The Dating Game. Holly Lucas, Earl's lovely wife, played the contestant, who was just kind of a regular mundane type of woman. And then the three bachelors she was attempting to, you know, play the dating game with were Earl playing Lex Luthor, Chris Mazzalesta playing Sloth from the movie Goonies, and myself playing Chamberlain from The Dark Crystal. Now, if you don't know that off the top of your head, remember the Skeksis guy who was really whiny, like, prophecy? Yes! Going to get the girlfling! You know, the that guy. So, I need to come up with a Chamberlain costume. Now, obviously, I wasn't going to go full balls to the wall, make it look like the movie, because, you know, there's no way. So I'm like, okay, once again, how can I do a quick version of Chamberlain and at least get his head and neck and also get, like, at least one arm, and, you know, and then basically throw some kind of, you know, big cloth over it so I can kind of hunch over and, you know, somewhat look like a Skeksis without having to, you know, spend a lot of time and money on this thing. So once again, I used the same patterns that we got from projectpuppet.com or puppetproject.com, whichever one it is. And
I think it's Puppet Project.
Yeah. Well, I'll put a link to it in the description of this, just because, okay, I want to make sure we're getting it right here. So I went there and basically took the sock puppet, elongated it, made it so it was the length of my arm, like a big old full-arm glove, and then, you know, it had the head on the end of it, which I then used foam and paints and ping pong balls and stuff to slowly assemble something that, while not screen accurate, you know, for the purpose of what we were doing, could easily pass for Chamberlain, or at the very least pass for a Skeksis. I think I got pretty good on getting the specific Skeksis of Chamberlain. So that was kind of...
It's actually projectpuppet.com.
Okay, projectpuppet.com. That's what we're talking about. So I had, like, my right arm was the neck and head of Chamberlain. My left arm was his left arm. Apparently, my Chamberlain either didn't have a right arm or it was just tucked inside his, you know, big cloak, you know, and luckily nobody, you know, called me on that. But we actually did make a second fake arm that we were going to maybe try to pin on or something, but it just got to the point where we decided the hell with it. We had too much other stuff to do for the con. So it was the sketch went over great. I remember in the early stages of writing, Earl said to me, Earl Wingard the Conqueror Lucas, Conqueror aka Spiel Bay Lucas, said to me, I don't think people are going to know who this Chamberlain character is. It's too obscure. Earl told me something I was doing in a sketch was too obscure. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, El Santo, the Masked Avenger. So I found that amusing. And fortunately for me, when I hit the stage as Chamberlain, everybody knew what the deal was and thought it was hilarious. So yeah, the sketch went over really well. You can watch it on YouTube. It's in two parts because it's like a 15-minute sketch. So Mr. Tuesday posted it. I guess I'll throw in the links to that too, just so people can find it.
Okay, so we've been talking about opening ceremonies for 7 minutes. This isn't going to go well, is it?
Well, I'm talking about that because it's one of the things that I do that, you know, people, it's like, well, I think it was noteworthy, goddamn, and I made myself a freaking Chamberlain for something.
Okay.
So anyway, opening ceremonies went really well. Then we get into the Friday night rated R acts, and I hate to turn this into something that's going to sound very repetitious, but I just think all the acts that performed this weekend did great shows.
Yes.
I mean, so basically it's going to be like, this guy did a great show, that guy did a great show, that guy did a great show. It's like, so forgive me for not making this splendiferously interesting to listen to, but.
Well, Rob Balder wore pink bunny ears.
Yes, and he did a great show. And then Shoebox joined him. They did, we should mention his new song that he did called Raise the Game. I liked that.
Yeah.
That was his first real attempt at doing something more of a hip hop, you know, in its entirety, and it was an original.
Yeah, that was definitely out of his comfort zone in a good way.
Yeah, so I look forward to that. I don't know if he's going to put that at the Fump or whatever, but I look forward to that being available. So, Raise the Game by Rob Balder. Then there was the Bald Box set, which went well, and as you said, the pink bunny ears for Bunny's Big Day was a really nice touch.
Yes.
And I loved the new video that goes with Commander Kafka, Space Roach, with all the art by TV's Kyle. That was cool.
Last I heard, Erin Jane Sherlock, the 9-year-old daughter of Ken, who this was her first MarsCon. Last I heard, her favorite act was Rob Balder.
Cool.
Yeah.
See, Rob, you're getting the demographic. You're getting the kids. We got to get that Earthworld, you know, cartoon on Fox on Saturday mornings, and then, yeah. So, Worm Quartet did awesome as usual. Worm Quartet, by the way, is going to be the 2011 guest of honor.
Woot!
Because he deserves it, damn it, because he's been here every year since 2004, so.
It was my idea.
And it was Carrie's suggestion. I was sitting here being like, who should we get? Everyone I want to get that it seems like a pie-in-the-sky dream is too much money. The con can't afford, blah, blah, blah. And Carrie's like, well, how do you get someone who shows up every year like Worm Quartet? Because they're awesome and they deserve it. And I'm like, Carrie, you're brilliant. Women aren't dumb.
Well, I mean, he's been there every year that I've been there.
Yeah.
Like, he's the only artist other than you that's been there every year that I've been there.
Yep. So, and you know, Shoebox had a new song this year about vasectomies.
I guess technically Eric Coleman's been there every year, but he hasn't. The only way he's participated.
I thought he missed a year somewhere in there.
Did he? I don't think he did. But lately he's been more off with the Filk people, except for the Dementia Smackdown, so we don't get Eric Coleman.
I made the
anymore.
Mistake of referring to Toy Boat
as a Filk cover band,
you know, and lumping him in with other acoustic type people. And you know, I was, you know, I was giving a serious tongue lashing for having done that.
But it's a Filk cover band.
You know, it's one of those four-letter words, you know, F, blank, blank, K, you know, it's.
And then Schaefer the Dark Lord kicked some serious ass.
Yes.
And he's ridiculously energetic, and like Luke said, like, this just, you know, physical comedy kind of thing.
He just commands the stage. It's just him in the box and the mic on the stage, and he just.
He doesn't, he
prowls
the
stage like a Black Panther.
He's one of the, you know, few artists who, you know, didn't attempt to use video in any way, shape, or form, and he's the artist who definitely doesn't need video in any way, shape, or form. So.
I didn't use video, but I was considering it for a while.
Yes, I know you've been wanting to. So we had the Nick Adams, in which I appeared as Dusty Springfield.
Yes, they did their final concert as if they were filming the last episode of a TV show in 1976 called The Nick Adams Highly Atomic Variety Hour. So it was filled with all kinds of great cameos by 70s celebrities and stuff. So. I was Rip Taylor,
yes.
And I wasn't really the host, but I was kind of the celebrity that showed up the most to kind of be the glue that held the show together in a way. That's the way the guys put it. So,
yeah.
But they had Devo Spice as Danny Bonaducci.
But you and I were the only ones that really dressed up.
Yeah, Chris Waffle made a decent attempt with his Kenny Rogers. You know,
I don't know if I call that a decent attempt. He put like three fake mustaches on his face, and he colored one of them gray.
Yeah.
Or one of them was gray.
Yeah. So yeah, but you know, it kind of got ridiculous as the night went on when Shoebox showed up as Betty White, you know, in no costume whatsoever. Just, look, it's Betty White, and there's Shoebox standing there.
Yeah.
And played his keytar for the mask theme. The Captain and Tennille were played by the Gothsicles. But yeah, I mean, it was a great show.
And,
I mean, it
Chris Mezzalesta did all the announcing and stuff.
Oh yeah, he was the backstage announcer, Chris Mezzalesta, voice guy. Yeah.
And was Ian in that?
Oh yes, wait, yeah, Ian was in the very beginning, and Zane Ian played Paul Williams.
Yes.
And it was not to toot our own horns or anything, but I think it was like me and Ian had some really good costumes because we walked on stage and before we announced who we were, the crowd was already saying, "Oh, it's Rip Taylor and Paul Williams." So it was cool.
And
I got to throw confetti.
Yes.
Which was not the messiest thing that happened on that stage.
And then there were parties, and then morning happened, and then we were in the AV Club room to do Mystery Spatula Theater, Dungeons and Dragons, and then with new live short, purely coincidental.
Yes, an industrial safety in the workplace video done sometime in the 70s, we have to assume. Purely coincidental, went over really well. In fact, Matt messaged me the other day to ask if we wanted to do it at PenguinCon.
Yes, he sent me the same message. Why? How coincidental.
Wow, that's purely coincidental. Yeah. He also pointed out that one of the other movies we were considering on our like list of maybe we'll do them is a really short movie, so we could have purely coincidental film that with that,
oh,
you know, when we get around to it.
Nice.
It's not the next one we're working on, but it, you know, it's probably a strong contender for the one after that. So
So later on I made the mistake of missing a part of Nuclear Bubble Wrap, as when I got there and saw how funny they were, I wished that I had been there from the beginning because they were awesome. They went over really big.
they did a great set. They apparently went through an exorbitant amount of effort to attempt to find bubble machines so they could have bubbles blowing during their show.
If they had asked me, I had one left over from my wedding.
Well, they managed to find the bubble machines, but then they didn't have batteries, and then so instead of that, they had Aud Austin help them inflate, like, you know, dozens of colorful balloons.
That's what that was about.
Yeah, so they dumped balloons all over the stage to make up for their lack of bubbles, and who got to clean those balloons up? Me!
I got to watch Jeff Morris's girlfriend's daughter, like, 2 or 3 year old daughter, play with the balloon during the whole set. She was like, you know, tiny little girl, like, you know, Cindy Lou Who, and she like throws a balloon up in the air with her arms straight up, and she looks and watches where it goes over her head. And it was so cute. And she gave me little girl smile, and then she gave Josh little girl smile. And then he assigned a gender to our unconceived child, and I had to slap him on the wrist because I'm like, you know, you haven't even impregnated me yet. You can't say we're going to have a daughter.
Well, on that note, Nuclear Bubble Wrap did a great job.
Yes.
a lot of positive feedback on them. And then Chris Mezzalesta came up once again and, you know, did his thing.
Power salad set.
Power salad.
And I liked the video for if the cat's afraid of the vacuum cleaner, made with little drawings, mostly drawings from his Power Salad partner's daughter. I can't remember. Doug something?
Craig Marks.
Craig.
Doug is Grant's partner.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So,
all these partners that I haven't met.
Now, there's a problem with like Schaefer the Dark Lord on Friday night is that you go to his concert and you yell and scream because you're just so excited and it's such a great show. And then the next day, you have to do your own show. and your voice is kind of not really at its peak.
Yeah, I was trying to be careful about that.
Yeah, so Mr. Insane Ian, who I have ballyhooed a great deal and who I consider to be he had a rough start with the song House. It's like the first half of his first song he didn't seem to be singing.
He was in the wrong key
and then like at one point it just finally like clicked and he seemed to be like, oh, he's in the right key now. And you know, as his set progressed, it got better and better, and then he had
like a whole like 10 or 15 minute epic medley of video game related parodies.
Yeah, along
with video, so yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was very awesome, and there was one particular moment that really just broke me and Shoebox up during his set. He had Aud Austin come out and help him with some guitar, and he was like trying to set up the next song, and then he turned and looked off stage to where Austin was, and Austin was like apparently having trouble setting things up, and Ian said, "You don't know how to set up a bass guitar amp." Neat. And it was just like, just the way he said it was like, just so broke through everything in me down to my core of, I'm frustrated with a situation, really annoyed, but I'm on stage and gotta maintain professionalism.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna say this one little thing and let off just the teeniest bit of steam.
Yeah.
You know, but me and Shoebox have been in that situation so many times before that when we saw that happen and we identified it with it so perfectly and resonantly, it's like Shoebox and I just fucking lost it.
Hey, are we still recording? I'm just being paranoid here, but we haven't looked at this thing for a while. Okay. So,
Yep.
Then after Ian was...
Steve Goody!
He's possibly my favorite new person that I met that I hadn't met before. Because having had a chance to talk to him, he's just like a really cool person to talk to. Oh, and he insists, like, seriously insists that he's going to write a song about my dad. You probably missed that part, that conversation.
No, I did. I missed that completely.
But
who knows
if it'll actually happen.
Did you give him a copy of Giant Kitten, or did he buy one?
We ended up making a trade.
Oh, okay.
So because
I saw him with it, I'm like, oh, he has Giant Kitten. His comment was when he walked up. I was talking with Jace, and he walked up and he had, hey, look at this, and I was like, oh, and he's like, this is the coolest album cover ever. That's what he said.
Yeah, when I did give a copy to Shay for the Dark Lord, and his face seemed to light up when he saw the album cover. So. I do like my album cover. Yeah. But I only actually sold one CD. Not one copy of Giant Kitten, just one copy of anything.
Well, you know, it's the way things go at MarsCon.
What do we want to say about Steve Goody's set? I think, for me, three Harry Potter songs was a little excessive, especially since he's got such a wide range of other songs.
Well, there has been a demand, at least I have here and there over the past couple of years, heard people from the con, you know, staff or just say, like, hey, we should have some more Wizard Rock.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, well, we'll bring in Steve Goody.
Oh, okay. So that was
intentional.
For a reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, plus he does have a CD that's like all Harry Potter / Charlie and the Chocolate Factory songs.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It just, his Harry Potter stuff wasn't going over as well as the rest of his stuff. Mm. It wasn't. He said that from the stage, so I'm not making
Well, I think it's because the songs he chose to do were the songs everybody already knew.
Yeah.
Like, maybe if he had done some of the B-sides from that album that hadn't been played on Dr. Demento. I don't know. But still, Steve did an awesome job. He kicked major butt up there.
And then after that was my concert.
Yay!
Which I got from a certain amount of begging.
Oh, is that what we're calling it now?
I guess I should have called it manipulating, but
Well, you know, it's well, I'll talk more about that particular aspect of the con later. But to deal with the recap of what's going on, Carrie did an awesome show. I've heard many people, in particular one, Chris Mazzalesta, say that he felt that was like the best stage show he'd ever seen you do. And of course, in that whole show, you premiered the video.
Yes.
and the crowd just totally loved it. They went nuts for it.
They ate it up.
Yeah,
it was
so
awesome.
It was super cool. And your live performance of Killing You Softly went over really well. I thought that was great. With having Josh on stage and your, you know, dad on guitar once again.
And, you know, to mix things up a little bit for those of you who are at the wedding, you know, to have a different ending to the song, Josh actually ran away and ran out of the room.
And then to end Carrie's set, she did, since we had to kind of be a bit more strict this year about saying, hey, people on the Saturday and Sunday afternoon have to keep it rated PG or PG-13 at the worst.
Others didn't, by the way. I just noticed Ian and Steve Goody both had swears in their sets. Well, they did. Trust me.
Okay. Well, I'll listen to the concerts and find out, I guess. But
I think. Well, let's see. Ian said pissed. What did Steve Goody say? What did Steve? I think the one
act that kind of made me feel like, oh, I'm a little nervous about that was Dino Mike did a song in which
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. Steve Goody didn't. He did definitely adult material, but it wasn't swears. Then, but then Dino Mike had
Yeah, because yeah, Steve Goody asked me about doing the Sarah Palin song, and I'm like, oh yeah, go ahead and do it. We're mainly just worrying about, you know, the big heavy words that people go, oh, you know. I was trying to view it like, if you can get away with saying it on like South Park or Family Guy, I wasn't going to concern myself with it too much. But Dino Mike did a song in which one of the main words of the chorus was pussy, and not meant in terms of a cat.
Yes.
I think he emailed me asking, is it okay if I say that? And I'm like, oh, sure. I didn't realize that it was the chorus hook of the song. But, you know, I just decided, all right, I'm going to go over and just kind of close the door for the for the immediate time being until this song is over.
Well, the point he's trying to make is that instead of singing the world is made of assholes, I sang the world is made of potholes.
Yeah, and other and the other cool aspect was your dad was playing guitar. So that was a first, too, of that particular song.
I don't have an instrumental version of the, you know, I don't believe I have an instrumental version of the radio edit of that song, and there's no way for me to make one because it's on your dead laptop is what we recorded it on, so I'd have to make one from scratch if I wanted.
I do have the brain from that laptop. It's actually sitting right over there. I could experiment, but the overall point is that, you know, having your dad play guitar for that song, you know, for the first time was really cool. And then it just kind of turned into like a alternate universe version of the song.
Yeah.
I brought out the Wingard puppet, and so instead of saying rocks, trees, water, I said and cake.
Yeah. And but of course, you know, a bunch of guys came up for the guys I wouldn't sleep with part, including, as always, Gifted Gear. Who is a 14-year-old. At the first time we saw him, he was 12, and now he's 14. And then we had the throwing toasters.
Yeah, Grant was nice enough to basically... I've seen Grant do different things with Dr. Floyd at conventions. Sometimes he has a whole episode written. Sometimes he just shows videos and says, oh, here's what's up with the company, you know, in the past few months or what's coming up next. And when I noticed we were behind schedule, I asked him like what he was planning on doing, and he said he was going to show a couple videos and stuff, and he kindly on his own decided to cut the Dr. Floyd thing just down to doing the Dr. Steve and Fidget song One Meatball.
Yeah.
So that way it's like Dr. Floyd was represented, and then he went on to the throwing toaster sets, which got us right back on schedule. So thank you very much, Grant, for doing that. It was very much appreciated by me. And then Grant did, you know, his usual set of hits. I mean, he's been really busy with Dr. Floyd and the Henson podcast and so many other things over the past few years.
There's a lot of people there, you know, that had never seen him. Just because you and I had seen him doesn't, you know.
I mean, you know, like, you know, I it was my goal to get Grant Pachoco of Throwing Toasters to come and do his set at MarsCon, you know, sometime over the past several years, and I was never able to work it out, and now he's here. So he did the set that I always wanted him to do here. So woot. And, and his version of Ellen, or his version of Debbie, which was actually called Ellen this time around, went over great because Davros started talking to Ellen halfway through the song that Grant is trying to sing to her, and then Grant...
Did Davros not realize it was... No, he did, because he was taking pictures.
Yeah, he was taking pictures, and then he like sits there and starts chatting with Ellen while Grant is singing the song to her, and then Grant just freaks out and starts yelling at Davros.
He just stops the song and starts yelling.
You know, and then like, just everyone's like cracking up. Grant's just standing there staring at Davros. Davros finally gets up and walks away, and then Steve Goody comes down and intentionally sits next to Ellen. And Grant's like, Steve? Oh God, it was so freaking cool.
Yeah,
it was very funny. Yes. So that was Saturday afternoon. And then there was dinner type of things happening. Oh, by the way, my mom and Pete showed up again, which was very nice.
Which was a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that she was maybe going to show up. I was expecting her not to show up until Saturday, but she showed up on Friday night, which was really cool. And my brother Michael is there helping with table 27, and you know, so it was nice to have them around again to see this thing that I do every year. I think maybe last year they finally kind of got figured out, like, oh, this is a really important thing to Luke.
Yeah.
You know, out of everything, out of all the shows I do every year, this one means the most. So
yeah.
So it was cool to have them come back and, you know, and check it out.
And then there was partying. Wait, no. Then there was dinnering, and then...
And then, there was the world premiere debut performance of Cirque du So What, which is me, Depot Spice, Shoebox, and Christmas Alesta Power Salad. We did four sketches from the new album, and beginning with the only real song on the album, which is God Hates Comedy Musicians, which Dr. Demento played last weekend, which is cool, and it's also available at thefump.com. We then followed that with a sketch called A Mob Internship Program, which I wrote, which is cool. And then another sketch called The Bible and Audiobook, which I think Shoebox wrote most of or all of that.
I would think so, because the side of the Ballbox CD says Bible, read by the author.
Yeah. And then we ended with a sketch. Because we were at a convention, I felt that we should end with this sketch called Dumb Fanfic Awards, which basically kind of encapsulates... The way I describe this sketch is, there's all these cliches about sci-fi geeks and what happens at their sci-fi conventions, and, oh, look, I'm a Trekkie, I dress as Spock. Like, there's all those cliches. It's like, this is the sketch that talks, that basically summarizes all of the cliches that are more real about what really happens at these cons that the other mainstream people aren't talking about.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who. Yeah, I think it was Ian told me this, that, like, I guess that Jace from Nuclear Bubble Wrap didn't think the sketch was that funny, and Ian basically explained to him it's not funny because it's too true. it's too much like what really happens. So yeah. I think there's a lot of funniness in it, but, you know. And it ends with such a lovely, uplifting thing that Shoebox wrote. So, and there's also on the outtakes of the album, if you have the special CD of the pre-order album, which there might be a few left. So if you go order one now, you can still get it. But there's
baconnipples.com,
baconnipples.com, and circusofwhat.net. There's an outtake where you hear Shoebox like picking up a script and he just starts laughing and he says, "Copyright night." No, copyright 2006 to 2010. This says so much about this project. So basically, it's like, this particular sketch had been written over the course of 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, and that one was really a genuine, like, mishmashing of me and Devo and Shoebox. And, okay, technically, Chris might not have actually written any part of that sketch, but he did play the winner. The person who wins the award in the sketch. So, but it was such a cool thing, and I'm really happy. I think it went over well. We're going to be performing again at PenguinCon and at KeyCon, so I'm looking forward to figuring out what we're going to do for both of those shows. Anyway, moving on. My name's Luke. I did a show. Blah. The most interesting thing about that show was me and Carrie premiering the song Anime Fan there, which I thought
the song you heard earlier.
Yes, the song you heard earlier in this show was revealed for the first time at the con, and people seemed to dig it. And Carrie was in a makeshift anime girl outfit that I thought served its purpose very well.
It was part Dusty Springfield and part Cake Wreck Girl.
I don't know, anything else about my show worth mentioning? The Dada Slide, maybe.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. The Dada Slide with live dancers and live Ken as Nixon.
Yes.
I better tell him that we're not calling him, because I texted him to tell him that we might call.
Oh.
Okay, you speak.
Okay. And then there was the first ever performance of My Parents Bought Me in Television, featuring Insane Ian, me and him going back and forth. I got to get that song friggin' memorized so that I don't need the lyrics. I've been lax in my memorization over the past year. Then Devo Spice, of course, hit the stage, and Devo always does a kick-ass job. I'm blanking on if there was anything new in the set. He did I'm On It. He did he did stuff that's new to this year, because, you know, he had made a bunch of new songs. He did Why Are You Friending Me on Facebook. He had just finished up the animation, literally in the car as they were pulling up to the con. He finished up the animation for I'm Not Your Personal IT Guy, so that was a world premiere there.
I was really upset because Josh wasn't in the room for the first half of that song, and because he was getting a soda for me. and I had, like, not played that song for him, partially because I thought it would be cool to hear it for the first time at MarsCon.
Yep. And then the Goskulls hit the stage, and they, you know, we have to mention briefly, Nuclear Bubble Wrap performed their song Birdfucker.
Yes.
I'm very happy I was able to work that
in for them. And I heard some of the older folks sitting in front of me saying, "That was just sick."
Hey, bitches, it's the Rated R block. You knew it. It's not like it was a secret or anything.
Josh laughed quite loudly during that song, as I figured he would. I know his sense of humor. And the Gothsicles had Tara Doohan on stage, and they had Bless the Bill Putt on stage for two songs. It was only supposed to be one, but they called him up one song too early. And I danced and enjoyed myself watching the Gothsicles. I don't think I'd seen them since MarsCon 2008, so...
Yeah, they did an awesome show. I think I was sitting down for most of that show just because I needed to conserve my energy. But yeah, they were awesome as usual. They were definitely a crowd pleaser. So yeah, Saturday night we had the Dementia SmackDown Wrestling, which was awesome for the 20-man Battle Royal.
Where I went to hide my pathetic genitals.
Yes. Well, you know, I don't know. It sounds like Jared wants to start, you know, doing that more regularly now. So hopefully, you know, maybe he'll come over here just like us recording the podcast, and he and I can actually record commentary together.
Yeah.
And start putting more stuff on the tubes for internets.
That would be cool.
But yeah, well, there was the 20-man Battle Royal. Last year's winner was me, Luke Ski. I'm one of the heels. People don't seem to like me too much in that universe.
Well, that's intentional.
Yeah, well, I mean, even I, as Duke du jour, am bad-mouthing me. So, you know.
Yes.
So it came down to the last two in the battle of the 20-man Battle Royal. It was Luke Ski versus Odd Austin, and Odd Austin managed to pull it out. So he was the champion. He got awarded a belt that he actually got to take home with him. So that was cool, very fun. Then Sunday... we had the Dementia Fan Showcase at Karaoke Joe's. I wasn't able to be there for the entire thing, but I was there for kind of one at least full set of everyone who performed.
I was there. Whole thing.
Yeah, it was very cool.
I think Max DeGroot was one of my favorites there. He's, especially him performing his song from the sideshow called The Census, and he performed it with just these, you know, he was just really into it with his facial expressions. He's doing a set at PangoCon, so I'll get to see more of him there.
And Census was also played this past weekend at Dr. Demento, so good. Congrats to him. And yeah, everyone there did a great job. It was a lot of fun. I was very happy to see Uncle Lumpy come out and do a couple of his tunes. I wish I could have been there for more of the whole thing. But and of course, DJ Particle hosting. Thank you very much, Emmy, for doing that.
She does a great job. She's a natural.
Yes. And then 1:30 we had Odd Austin. With the Odd Austin band, which consisted of his friend Patrick standing next to him and singing things occasionally.
And at one point, during one song, which was a song about Paris Hilton, his friend Patrick was sitting there playing on his PSP when he wasn't needed at the mic. He's just standing on stage playing his PlayStation Portable.
Well, you know.
Whatever PSP stands for.
But yeah,
Austin. I thought it was funny.
Austin's a much more low-key performer than the rest of us, but I think he did a good job. Then Dino Mike hit the stage, and of course, you know, he's full of energy, and it was cool to have, you know, well, plus I should mention during Odd Austin's set, Insane Ian got up and did a song with him, and of course Austin had been playing bass for Nuclear Bubble Wrap and other people all weekend, and then Dino Mike gets up, and then he does the song Nuff Liquor. He's got Odd Austin and Jace up there with him. It's just so cool to see that, like, You know, even though they haven't been to MarsCon before, they're just like kind of immediately on the same page with all the rest of us in the whole category of we're all going to jump up and be in a part of each other's sets.
Yeah.
You know, whenever it helps add to the show.
Yeah.
So, and I, you know, that was a really cool aspect of the whole thing. And you know, Mike did some of his older classics, the Shaggy and Scooby song, of course, and Dorkor, which he distracted himself and forgot some of the lyrics, but you know, he covered it.
Yeah.
You know, nicely.
He's kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Charismatic.
Yes.
He's got a good stage presence. So then Chris Waffle Experience came on in kind of a...
the Chris Waffle Experience showed up to perform Hot Waffle songs.
Yes. In like a car mechanic outfit, which was partially because Chris and his brother Tim of Hot Waffles Duo are going to be appearing on a show on the Travel Channel.
Yes.
Something about Worst Driver.
Yeah, World's Worst Driver. And, in fact, I think it's... I don't know the air date, but I think it's sometime in April. I think it's around April 9th-ish. But yeah, just keep it... Pay attention to, you know, go to hotwafflesmusic.com or, you know... He's probably posting things about it at the Fump News page, so you can look at the Fump.com and find out when it's going to air. But yeah. So, and then we had kind of a surprise. Jared and John of Possible Oscar joined Chris on stage so that they could, do a couple of tunes, and then they kind of segued into doing Possible Oscar's song, Rock Is for the Win. So we actually had an appearance by, Possible Oscar this weekend, which made me really happy. And, FYI, I do intend to work Possible Oscar into, next year's lineup since, they weren't here this year.
Yeah. Well, it's good to give some stage time to the locals because,
Yeah.
Theirs are the friends that can just all randomly pile in.
Speaking of the locals, I just got too busy and too spaced out, or I was never there when they were open. The Space Oddity Brew Club and Pub. From what I heard,
I went there.
Did really awesomely all weekend. How was it, Carrie? Tell us all about it.
I was there at 4:30 in the morning. It's technically Sunday after Beth Kinderman had already gone to bed, and me and Ken sat there and sang some Beatles songs with the musicians that were hanging out in there.
Cool.
And maybe next year I'll know how to play my acoustic guitar well enough to bring it with me. But this year it wasn't even worth it. I just don't know enough of the chords and the strumming. And then we did the Dementia Smackdown, and I did Still Alive by Jonathan Colton with my dad, which we had practiced, but it sounded a lot better in the rehearsal than it did in the performance, because I wasn't warmed up. It was the first time my concert had been on a Saturday instead of a Sunday, so I hadn't made a big deal about getting to bed and getting warmed up or anything like that. So you could tell that I had been flipping the flippy floppy. And
where did that come from? Is that something I just said randomly out of my mouth?
No, look it up on Urban Dictionary.
No, flipping the flippy floppy?
Technically, you flip the flippy floppy, but I like adding the flipping the flippy floppy.
Okay.
Or is it flip? I don't know. It's something about flip flop floppy. And then Luke performed.
Happy, happy, joy,
happy,
joy.
Happy, joy, joy.
With the rest of Cirque du Soleil what?
Yes. And I don't think the winner has been officially decided of the Dementia Smackdown, but Gifted Gear, I think, is up there, as are the Gothsicles, who the Gothsicles weren't even there, but they had Al Cav of Soggy Potato Chips read a prepared statement in an envelope that even he had not read beforehand. And it was the dementia roast, where they threw out some insults for some of the dementia artists there. I was sad that they didn't have any insults for me, but, they had insults for Luke and some others. And Gifted Gear got up, and he wasn't supposed to be part of the SmackDown, but...
Actually, Carrie, my dear, my friend, had you read the emails I sent, you would have seen the list of, here's the order everybody's going into the SmackDown. And number 14 on that list, it said Gifted Gear! He was on the list! You would have known he was in the show if you had read the list. Why don't people read my emails? You don't read my emails! Nobody reads the emails I send off! Why don't you love me? Why?
I was having this discussion with your fiancé. We noted that neither she nor I ever read the updates you send out.
Yes, I know. We had that same discussion.
Okay.
But it was also on the printed up list that was backstage, taped up to the wall. It was the same list.
Read. Shut up.
So it's my fault for not giving you information.
Why are you starting a fight about this, you fucking dick?
Because you had made the point that in this bit we were doing with Gear, that you didn't know that I was faking it, that I was mad.
Well, do you think the audience knew? If I didn't know.
I asked people on Facebook saying, who, by the way, did anyone think, what did you guys think? Did you think I was mad? And everyone was like, oh no, we know you wouldn't have let him up there if he wasn't part of the thing or something. So you're as far as I can tell.
I know you're a big pushover. You would have let him in.
Well, he emailed me asking me in advance, and I said, well, let me see what I can do, and as it turns out, there were a few acts that ended up
anyways,
not being
Gift of Gear performed Mommy's Broken, a 5-second song by Worm Quartet.
Yes.
Can we move on now?
Okay. Well, moving on basically means that was it. That was the end of the weekend, and
not really. There was all kinds of other stuff that happened, but that was that was the end of the Dementia Trek. So...
But,
and I definitely don't want to talk about the rest of the weekend because we've already been talking about it for 45 minutes or whatever.
Well, I need to, like, my summary of the weekend is this, that, you know, I've been running this track for several years now and kind of viewing it from a video game point of view of, like, when you're playing a game and you're trying to, you know, like Rock Band or something and, like, you get done with a level and it shows your percentage, you know, like, you know, 87%, you know. I've always been shooting to get, like, the 100% of everything going the way it was supposed to. And last year, it was like at 99%, you know, basically because, you know, one heckler ruined it, you know, ruined, you know, the potential, you know, perfectness of that weekend. This year, it was 100%. Everything went the way it was supposed to, despite me having bit off way more than I could chew in several different areas. I managed to pull it off. You know, as far as, like, making it happen, you know, delegating things, I'm sure that, you know, people could come to me and say, wait, what about this, what about that, you know, and there are, you know, always tweaks and things that can be fixed and improved upon, but overall, in the grand scheme of things, you know, it happened, it worked. I don't know if they've had the actual, you know, alien autopsy, you know, post-convention meeting yet to discuss this or that, but, you know, last year our only complaint from that meeting was that there was too much naughty language during the Saturday and Sunday afternoon shows, and I did my best to curtail that as much as I could this year, and I, you know, think I did mainly because I didn't hear the word fuck coming from three different artists over the course of those two sets. So, you know, so yeah, I mean, I'll wait and hear if there's any other complaints back, but overall it was like, you know, it's like, you know, yes, perfect score. It happened, cool, awesome.
Yes.
So...
Yay.
So I promise to you, next year, I will be doing less.
That means you have to delegate.
Yeah. Or just do less things. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I the other day while I was at MidSouthCon, I kind of jotted down some notes just so I could have, like, okay, there's some initial thoughts. I'm going to put those away now and get back to them in, you know, October or something.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, now we're going to play another track. I asked Carrie to pick her favorite track, or a track that stood out to her from the Cirque du Soleil album, Procrastinators of the Apocalypse, and she chose this one.
Meanwhile, in a small apartment in Syracuse.
I'd sure like a boat.
Fuck you!
Is that your final answer?
No, seriously, die!
Meanwhile, in ancient Greece.
Damn, sure is a long-ass time ago, ain't it?
Meanwhile, 2 feet northeast of Newark.
Boy, I'm sure glad we're not in Newark.
You said it, Bet!
Why do you keep calling me Bet?
Meanwhile, in Catherine Zeta-Jones's purse.
Hi, I'm a pen!
Hi, I'm a half-eaten sandwich!
Hi, we're assorted feminine products!
Hi, I'm a box of condoms!
No, you're not, you're a fish lung!
That's stupid! Why would Catherine Zeta-Jones carry a fish lung around?
Hi, I'm a hamster torso!
No, you're not, you're a gerbil torso!
Shut up, fish lung!
Yeah, shut up, fish lung!
Who said that?
Oh, it's just that uppity fucking lizard spleen again.
I'm not a fish lung, dammit!
Oh, give it a rest, fish lung!
Man, Catherine Zeta-Jones sure keeps some weird shit in her purse.
Who said that?
Ew, it's a cat face.
I used to help sniff things.
Meanwhile, down on the farm.
Yeehaw! I got me a brand new goddamn bucket.
Meanwhile, in Shoebox's left testicle. Meanwhile, in Shoebox's right testicle...
Keep it down over there!
Hey! I said keep it down!
Dad blasted miscreants! Being a sperm used to be about dignity!
Meanwhile, 1.5 feet northeast of Newark...
Hey! Are we getting closer to Newark?
Will you autograph my mom?
Meanwhile, at the headquarters for the Society of People That Like to Stab Themselves Repeatedly in the Crotch with a Rusty Pair of Left-Handed Scissors...
Ow! 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 Ow!
Ow.
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 Meanwhile, in the insect kingdom...
Hey, Fly.
What you want, Grasshopper?
Why the hell are we always called a kingdom?
What do you mean?
Well, they never just call us the insects. It's always the insect kingdom.
So? What's your point?
Well, my point is, who the hell says we're a kingdom? I mean, you'd think if we were a kingdom, most of us would be serfs who would work on the land owned by lords, who in turn would be kicking taxes up to, you know, a king.
A king?
Yeah. Ain't much of a kingdom without a king. And I don't know about you, but I ain't never seen no king.
Yeah, me neither.
Who the hell would be the king anyway? A wasp, an ant, a cricket? One of those damn things that squirt that white stuff when they get stomped on? I mean, who would be a fair choice for a king that would represent the interests of all the insects in the kingdom?
Hey, as long as I got some rancid meat to lay my eggs on, I'm a happy fly.
You see, now that's just an ignorant attitude. Eh? Don't you care at all about representation in this supposed monarchy? Don't you want rights? Don't you want freedoms? Don't you want the right to elect the leaders who decide on the laws that we're all bound to obey? And don't you give the slightest crap about society in general?
Crap.
Meanwhile, 3 inches northeast of Newark...
Oh my God! We're almost in Newark! Why the hell is this happening? I don't understand! Make it stop! Make it stop!
I've got a ladle that smells like the Carter administration!
Huh. I'll be damned.
Meanwhile, on the set of Seventh Heaven...
Hey, everybody! Let's all worship Satan and have sex!
Yay!
Meanwhile, 3 feet southwest of Newark...
How the hell did we get away on the other side of Newark?
Let's onion!
You asshole! Onion isn't a verb! I hope you fall down!
Beep, beep, beep!
Meanwhile, at Lukeski's caricature stand...
Is this free?
No. Yes.
How much does it cost?
$5.
Do I have to pay you for this?
Yes.
How much is it?
$5.
Can I pay you in tokens?
No.
Do you draw them?
Yes.
Can you draw me?
Yes, if you pay me.
How much does this cost?
$5.
Can I pay you in game tickets?
No.
Is that Rover?
Yes.
Was Wolverine here when you drew that?
No.
How much does it cost if you just draw my face?
$5.
You're a good artist.
Thanks, kid.
So, hi, we're back, and, Carrie has discovered there are reasons that she needs to get home quickly, so we're going to quickly wrap up her segments of the show so that we can get her back home, and then I'll come back after dropping her off and finish up. So what's up, Carrie?
Weight Watch. I have officially lost all the weight that I gained while I was on insulin, and I reached a new kind of milestone, sort of. And how I lost weight when I was at MarsCon, God only knows.
Yay, Carrie! Woo! You win.
And then,
Carrie, what shade of pink are you wearing?
I'm wearing a shade of perfect cotton candy pink with a Steely Dan logo because Tim Pooh Bear Winslow bought me the pink Steely Dan T-shirt that I mentioned on previous episodes. So thank you, Tim Pooh Bear Winslow. Yay!
We salute you!
Salute.
Yay! Pooh Bear and Margie.
All right, and I gotta go.
All right, we will be right back with me, probably by myself, after this clicking of a mouse.
Don't worry, I'll listen to it later.
Yeah. Can I pay you in game tickets?
Can I pay you in game tickets?
It's okay.
Can I pay you in mucus?
Can I pay you in mucus?
All right, so it is now the following day. Carrie is not here. She is at work, so I'm going to wrap up this episode somehow. Let me look at the outline. What did we not cover yet? In the category of things only Luke remembers, I wanted to mention a show. It's not a show. It was a movie made entirely out of stock footage that used to be shown on HBO all the time. back in the early to mid 80s. Basically, it's like every time you see footage of something that's like unusual, like a bunch of wacky inventions, like somebody, you know, made a bunch of, you know, fake wings and tries to jump off of a rock to be like, look, I'm going to be able to fly, and then he doesn't, or, you know, a plane that has like a dozen wings stacked up on top of it, and then it tries to fly, and then it just completely falls apart. It was that kind of a movie. It was basically a movie about, you know, with narration about how, you know, America, people, you know, invented gadgets, like, here, look at this kitchen, it's, you know, and there's all this Jetsons-like stuff, you know, films from the 50s about how the future is here today, you know, kind of a thing. But then they would also show these, like, wacky inventions and things that people tried to make that, you know, usually pretty much just failed. And there were some other, they had a whole segment on buildings being, you know, knocked down or destroyed, you know, basically just interesting things to watch. And when I was a little kid, I was really into the notion of gadgets and inventions and like, oh, somebody could make something really cool. So I really loved watching this. And it was back in the days when HBO used to show this type of stuff all the time. Like, for you youngsters, there was a time you could turn on HBO and, you know, movies would start on the hour or the half hour, and if there was extra time to fill, they would show interesting short films and stuff. You could actually see the full-length video for Fish Heads on HBO from time to time if you caught it at the right moment. So, yeah. So, basically, the movie, I'm pretty sure, was called Gizmo. And, like I said, it was made entirely out of stock footage with a voiceover. It was probably not that long of a movie, like, you know, hour and 15 minutes-ish, but I'm wondering if anybody else out there remembers that film or has any way to, you know, find it on the internet or on DVD or whatever. Excuse me. So, yeah, just figured I'd mention that for one of the things only Luke remembers category. What's Luke plugging now? Well, of course, there's the Fump. We got Reckoned by the Book, the Cake Wreck song by Carrie Dalby. We got Kilted for Her Pleasure by Mark Gunn, which is St. Paddy's Day related vaguely. Eighth Wonder by Lemon Demon. Anime Fan by The Great Luke Ski featuring Carrie Dalby, of course. High School Makes Everyone Uncomfortable by TV's Kyle. El Santo y Blue Demon by Hot Waffles. That would be the second song written in tribute to El Santo, the first, of course, being by the Nick Adams. But for now, over at the whoopfump.com main page, El Santo y Blue Demon, Hot Waffles. Cirque du Soleil with God Hates Comedy Musicians, and Tom Smith with Cheap Ass Cyborg. That's all what's up there as of the time this is being recorded, so go check it out. Of course, there's the Cirque du Soleil album, Procrastinators of the Apocalypse. You can pick that up at either CirqueDuSoleil.net or BaconNipples.com. We got both of them, so order the CD. There might be... excuse me for yawning. There might be a few copies left of that pre-order CD. So if you hurry up and order your now, you still might be able to snag that special bonus disc that has 20 minutes of outtakes and other material. So yeah. All right. Artbyluksky.com. Yes, I'm still a caricature artist. If you would like me to do art for you or caricatures or whatever, go check out artbyluksky.com. The free MP3 of the week. Three MP3 of the week at my website, LukeSki.com, or TheGreatLukeSki.com, is Stealing Like a Hobbit, my most popular song ever. So if you don't already own it, go get it. Or if you know people that you think might like it, tell them to go to LukeSki.com. Tour dates coming up. We got PenguinCon. I'm going to make a... looks like I'm going to be making a... making a brief concert appearance at DemiCon, which is neat. I haven't been there in a couple of years, I think. KeyCon out in Canada, and a special note, PenguinCon and KeyCon, we will have Cirque du Soleil there. All four members will be there. We'll be doing Cirque du Soleil performances at each one. And I should also mention again, PenguinCon has a really impressive... God damn, I'm yawning too much. It's too early in the day for this. PenguinCon has a really impressive music track that is full of funny music and filk and nerdcore. So over in Detroit there. So BigelCon's in Detroit, DemiCon's in Des Moines, KeyCon is in Winnipeg for all the Canadians out there. Let's see. Man, some of these... I have some true tales of ignorance from the caricature stand, but without Carrie here to, you know, react, it's kind of weird to do them solo, but maybe I'll just tell one or two and save the rest for the next episode. Okay, there was this one drunk guy who wanted me to... Basically, it's another situation where here comes a drunk guy or a crazy guy trying to, you know, say that my business plan isn't working and he has a new business plan for me. And this one night, a drunk guy thought that I would be, you know, be making more money and making a better living if I hired myself out to, like, paint Harley Davidsons and do, like, detailing work. And the thing in particular was, oh, you know, people get trucks and then they get, like, flames put on the side with, like, that vinyl stuff. You should do that. So, yeah, I really wasn't interested. I had some old ladies recently that paid me for my caricature in quarters. So, you know, I don't know how many casinos are located near downtown Chicago, but, you know. and, of course, you know, the next person who sat down in line, I used those quarters to, like, pay them back their change. I'm like, sorry, I'm not going to carry this around all day. And something else I guess I'll mention is... My four demo caricatures, one of them is of Wolverine, and in the background of the Wolverine drawing, I have the Incredible Hulk. Strike that. The demo drawing is of Iron Man, and in the background of the Iron Man one, there's Wolverine, the Incredible Hulk, Spider-Man, and Reed Richards, a.k.a. Mr. Fantastic of the Fantastic Four. Now, I need to have place on my sign to put up the little thing that says, you know, what it is and the price, so that kind of encroaches on the drawing. So I didn't want to cover up, you know, any of the characters, but I kind of had to pick one to cover up somewhat. So, the location of Reed Richards' head was, like, such that it was kind of near the edge of the page. But, you know, if I was just covering up his head, you still saw his body doing a super stretchy, like, S-curved shaped thing. Plus, he's wearing a blue uniform with the boots and the gloves. Plus, there's a 4 on his chest, you know, in a circle. So I figured, well, if I have to cover up Reed Richards' head, that's not going to be a big deal because everyone's going to look at that if they're a comic fan and say, oh, it's Mr. Fantastic. I have had to deal with little kids ripping my sign, literally ripping the paper, you know, accoutrements to my sign because they are trying to peel back that sheet to see whose head is behind there. So it's like they don't think like, oh, I'll ask the artist, or they don't think, oh, I'll just not touch this thing because it's not mine and I shouldn't mess with it. They're going to peel back the tape and rip the paper of the sign that tells people what it is and how much it costs because they need to see whose head is behind there, whose head could possibly attach to a body in a blue uniform with white boots, white gloves, a big 4 on his chest, and he's stretching like a rubber band in an S shape. Who could that possibly be? So I found that really annoying. Something else I guess I'll mention now before we sign off here, or go into the final stretch, is something that happened when I arrived at Mid-South Con. Sarah and I pulled up, I was going to unload the stuff, she ran inside, I was there organizing things, and standing outside the entrance to the place where Mid-South Con is held, I hear people having a loud conversation because they're smoking and possibly drunk by that point, because the room party may have started. And this one guy, this is what he's saying to his friends, talking about Sesame Street. And he's like, I turned on Sesame Street, and Adam Sandler is on Sesame Street, and Jack Black? Come on! There are certain people that shouldn't be allowed to be on Sesame Street. I mean, what's next? Are they gonna have Hugh Hefner on Sesame Street? You know, because if anyone's ever done anything, you know, R-rated, you know, they can't be allowed on Sesame Street, you know. I mean, I guess it's okay for Cameron Diaz to be on Sesame Street, you know. Then again, she did, you know, have, you know, cum in her hair for the movie, you know, There's Something About Mary. But, you know, she's okay. It's just such a ridiculous statement, you know. And you know what? Why not have Hugh Hefner on Sesame Street? What other man has encouraged more men to pick up a magazine and read in their life than Hugh Hefner? I don't know. Anyway, I thought the guy was retarded for trying to say that Adam Sandler and Jack Black shouldn't be allowed on Sesame Street. That's ridiculous. Anyway. All right, let's get to the outro here. So I wanted to, comments. That's what we got to do, comments. I'll read the comments real quick. Randy Porter had, in reference to our almost lost episode, said, "Same thing happened to me a month or so back. Recorded a fantastic interview episode of my podcast, Smitecast, and it got ruined and lost forever by the now-deleted Skype recording program I was using. Sucks, but at least you have a story to tell in the next show." And he posted that to the 9.5 before the next morning when the 10 got posted. Scott says, "George Takei is pronounced Takei, not Takai. Yes, I am aware of that. In my early career, I thought it was Takai, and I wrote songs where that was the rhyme, but then I found out later it was Takei, and I fixed it. In fact, I got to be guest of honor at Archon the same year that George Takei was, and at the little opening of the convention dinner where everyone was there, I made a joke that I said, hey, I feel just like Henny Youngman when he visited the set of Star Trek when he said, 'Takei, my wife, please.' And he thought that was funny. So, peace out to George Takei." Scott continues, "People have gotten confused with which one they think is right and wrong now, I think. I also watched Firefly and Serenity after your references in the last show. I kept watching for Jane to get his hat, and it was almost the end before he did. And they hardly ever said shiny. I expected it to be used more often. It was an okay show, but it kept making me want to watch Briscoe County Jr. instead." Well, the whole thing with the hat was, if I remember correctly, and I could be wrong, I think Jane got his hat in an episode that never actually aired on television. It was one of the episodes that got, you know, lost and people didn't get to see until it aired on, or until it was on the DVD box set that came out. So it was like fans picking up on that hat, you know, from that set and then, you know, running with it and people started making them and selling them. And shiny, I don't know, I thought it was used often enough. And of course, Briscoe County Jr. is awesome. I got to get back on the track of watching that on DVD because I've only seen part of the first season. Anyway, Sean says, "Hooray for temp files and 2 hours of your life you did get back. Happy, happy, joy, joy, etc." Thank you. Madman, a.k.a. Ken, who we did not call in this episode, "I'm glad you were able to rescue the lost recording knowing you put 2 hours into making it." So there you go. And I'm going to babble a bit while I pull up the thing I forgot to pull up before I started. So I was going to mention, of course, you can make comments at badrapport.com, and we will read them on the show. Also, you can send us emails, which we won't read on the show unless you specifically want us to, or something, by emailing badrapport@gmail.com. And where did that go? Here it is. And you can also leave voice messages, as we've established before. And so here is a voice message right now. The voice message line is 916-LUKESKI. That's 916-LUKESKI. And here is a message from Arkel.
"Hello, Luke and Kerry. It is Arkel. Yes, I've decided I'm going to actually call in my comments from now on. Well, at least my off-the-cuff ones. If I have something that needs to be or deserves to be more thought out, I'll write it up for the comment section. But, regarding my comments, I know I've mentioned my show, my main show, Geek of All Trades podcast, in them a couple of times, and my name is a link to it and all that. But I haven't mentioned my side project, The Casting Game. And, yeah, don't worry, this isn't merely a plug. It's also kind of an invitation. The Casting Game is, well, pretty much exactly what it says on the tin. You just sort of cast the movie version of whatever, a video game, a book, or even a remake of another movie. I've got 5 episodes in the feed right now. A few days from when I'm calling in this message, I'm going to be dropping the Star Trek The Next Generation Casting Game episode in. Warning in advance, the sound quality on that one's not that great because my friend, Diamira, just, she had a handheld mic and it never really recorded anything before. So, be kind. But, I was just, thinking it might be fun to have, Luke Ski and Kerry Dalby on the Casting Game at some point. You guys could pick something from the list of potential topics at the website, which is castinggame.blogspot.com. Ding. Or if you guys have an idea of your own, just go ahead and pitch it to me. The episode's in the feed right now. The most recent one is one for The Takeover, which was Merle Lafferty's zombie office comedy audio drama thing. And then a couple episodes before that, we cast a remake of The Last Starfighter, which, Mark Kilfoyle, host of the Weird Show podcast, I think he nailed it casting Bruce Campbell as Centauri. He just knocked that one out of the park. But, something I love about your podcast is that some of your segment titles are as long, if not longer, than the ones on my show. I mean, you got the ones like, you know, what shade of pink is Carrie wearing now and stuff that's on Luke's mind that he can't shut up about, or I think I butchered the name of that, but yeah, those are fairly equivalent to the ones I have on Geek of All Trades. I got This Day in History from the Point of View of a Right Winger, and probably my most polarizing bit, and this is actually the name.
And yeah, he got cut off there. For those of you who are leaving messages, just as a heads up, you only got about 2 minutes and 30 seconds to leave your message before it cuts you off. So, anyway, here is the rest of Arkel's message here.
Ooh, harshness. I didn't realize I was going to get cut off that soon. I thought I was talking faster than that. My bad. The bit I mentioned, one on my show that's polarizing, it's called A Bad Impersonation of William Shatner Performing a Leonard Cohen Song. Yes, that actually is a regular bit I do on my show. And yes, it is exactly what it sounds like. Okay, that's it.
Well, thank you so much for the call, Arkel, and I don't want to speak for Carrie, but I know at least for myself, I'd be interested in being on your show with the casting game. Off the top of my head, I don't know what I would want to recast, but it sounds nifty. I also wanted to, I should probably read at least part of this message to give you the wacky Google Voice translation. But yeah, those are brother early agree with what was I have one vehicle or trailer yet disdain issue for point of view of a right winger, and probably my most polar rising debt is this active in there. Oh, harsh necessarily doesn't get cut off. That's weird. I thought I was talking fasten that my bad the bed. I mentioned one on my show that's Paul Arising. It's called up that impersonation of William Shatner performing a letter-telling song. Yes, that actually has a regular but I do on my show, and yes, it is exactly what it sounds like. Okay, that's it. All right, so there you go with Arkel's voice message. If you want to leave a voice message too, remember that's 916 Luke Ski, you got a call there. Did comments, did that. Oh, okay, we mentioned on the previous show, we did that whole segment on song origins. So I just want to remind you, if there's any particular songs of mine or Carrie's that you were wondering how we came about getting the idea for that song and producing it and such, let us know and we'll work it into the show. So once again, leave that comment or at badreport.com on the episode and we'll bring it into the next one. What else? iTunes reviews. You could do that as well. I did not look to see if we have any new iTunes reviews this time because I forgot. Sorry. I will check in on that for the next episode, and if any new reviews have been left there, we'll read them on the show. So yeah, leave messages, make comments, leave reviews. Something else I mentioned last time, oddly enough, again, I am alone when it is being mentioned. Carrie and I want to eventually put out the Best of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport CD. We don't know when, probably sometime a ways down the road, maybe within the coming year. But we need to know what parts you thought were your, you know, if there's anything that happened in an episode that particularly made you laugh out loud, that really cracked you up, let us know what they are. Email us at badreport@gmail.com and say, hey, this thing you did from that episode, that was really funny. You should be sure to include that when you make the Best of CD. So please, please, please give us your feedback on that so we know what to do. Yesterday when the first part of the show was recorded, a new movie, a movie came out on DVD that I love. Can you guess what it is? Well, you won't have to guess because I'm going to play a song from that movie at the end of the show. And again, encourage you to go rent it, buy it, live it, love it, encourage that art form so that more movies like this are made in the future. So yeah, if you're having trouble figuring out which song I'm, or which movie I'm referring to, It should become obvious, and if it doesn't become obvious, I will just say ribbit. So this has been episode 11 of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. Thank you for listening. On behalf of myself and Carrie, don't do anything that Paul wouldn't do, or Storm, or Moonbeam. I don't know. Which podcast am I on? The end.
Don't you disrespect me, little man. Don't you derogate or deride. You're in my world now, not your world. And I got friends on the other side.
He's got friends on the other side.
That's an echo, gentlemen. Just a little something we have here in Louisiana. A little parlor trick, don't worry. Sit down at my table. Put your mind at ease. If you relax, it will enable me to do anything I please. I can read your future. I can change it around some too. I look deep into your heart and soul. You do have a soul, don't you, Lawrence? Make your wildest dreams come true. I got voodoo, I got hoodoo, I got things I ain't even tried. And I got friends on the other side.
He's got friends on the other side.
The cards, the cards, the cards will tell. The past, the present, and the future as well. The cards, the cards. Just take three. Take a little trip into your future with me. Now you, young man, are from across the sea. You come from two long lines of royalty. I'm a royal myself on my mother's side. Your lifestyle's high, but your funds are low. You need to marry a little honey whose daddy got dough. Mom and dad cut you off, ugly boy. Now you're gonna get hitched, but hitching ties you down. You just want to be free, hop from place to place. But freedom takes green. It's the green, it's the green, it's the green you need. And when I looked into your future, it's the green that I see. On you, little man, I don't want to waste much time. You've been pushed round all your life. You've been pushed round by your mother and your sister and your brother. And if you was married, you'd be pushed round by your wife. But in your future, the you I see is exactly the man you always wanted to be. Shake my hand. Come on, boys. Won't you shake a poor sinner's hand? Yes. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you ready? Transformation Central.
Transformation.
Transformation Central. Can you feel it? You're changing, you're changing, you're changing, all right. I hope you're satisfied. But if you ain't, don't blame me. You can blame my friends on the other.